guys. Welcome to this month's episode of my podcast. I am Cynthia Beaudry, and this is the Peace of My Mind podcast, P-E-A-C-E. This is a place where you and I can have bold and biblical and sometimes really hard conversations together as the family of God. Your life and you listening mean so much to me. You are a part of my peace community. You are welcomed here. I'm so grateful that you are here. I just want to give you a quick personal update. I am having a blast with the Living Letter Ministries. We've got a podcast going on over there as well. And the last episode that we put out, Drew and I have a dialogue on how to navigate in relationships with those who have opposing worldviews regarding sexuality. So check that out if that's a conversation that you're interested in. I just have to tell you, I've been feeling so full of God and inspired. It feels really good to be in the space that I'm in. Ministry is going so well. My community life is thriving. Brian and I just got back from a beach retreat weekend. That was such a blessing. So thank you for praying for me, and thank you for being a part of my journey. And let me know how I can be praying for you. Or if you have topic requests or questions, you can email me now at cynthia@alivingletter.org. I'm going to be using my ministry email from here on out, cynthia@alivingletter.org. For this episode, I want to talk about community as a vital part of our discipleship process. And as I share, I am praying that you feel so surrounded and supported by God that you can tangibly feel God's delight over you. You know, so many of us have heard that God loves us, and maybe we feel that and we believe it, but He does it out of obligation. But how many of us have actually heard that He likes us? He likes you. And you know what? He's created you for relationship and healthy intimacy. And this revelation and experience, it brings us into amazing healing and freedom. I'm currently reading a book by Michael Dye. He's the author of The Genesis Process, and he writes a book for church leaders and laymen. And he says in the book that relationships are a missing piece of the puzzle. And he says that he's never met an addict with healthy relationships. He found that destructive behavior was deeply tied with the inability to have healthy relationships. He also talks about something within us called the empty place, and he writes that addictive behaviors anesthetize the awareness of the empty place. He says, and let me just read this to you. He says, human beings don't function well when they are alone, isolated, and independent because God designed us in His own image for relationships, and not just casual ones, but intimate, close ones. You can be around a lot of people and still be lonely. I remember reading this and it really resonating within my heart because I grew up in New York City, which houses millions and millions of people. And yet that was the place where I felt most isolated and alone. Let me continue reading. Whatever we try to substitute for love in relationships, we can never get enough of. I believe isolation and loneliness is the root of what drives our self-destructive behaviors. In other words, we were not made to be alone. Yet, there is an epidemic of loneliness in our world. Only when we have true intimacy with God and other people does our empty place begin to be filled, which results in functioning as a human being again. When our ability to give and receive love, which is intimacy, it gets damaged, we have to find ways to cope with being alone and isolated. And that results in living in a way in which we were not designed to live. Intimacy is achieved when someone understands you're in a world with acceptance. It's a real understanding of what it's like to be you. We all need this, but few of us have it. Who really knows you? That is your inner world. When we don't have close, genuine relationships with God or people, how do we cope? Yet there is a safe, open, and honest place within the Church of God that can bring so much healing to those who are struggling with the empty place. A good church can help them develop and build true intimate relationships, which will result in healing. We were wounded relationally, and we will heal relationally. And what do? In our hurt, as a self-defense mechanism, we close ourselves off to receiving love from others, believing that making ourselves vulnerable is not worth the risk. And we detach ourselves from people, we lose trust in others, and we begin to believe the worst about ourselves, about the opposite sex, about the same sex, about the church, and even God. So it's no surprise to me that when God begins his healing work in our lives, he asks us to move into a new season of relationships where we can begin to heal through community. And God will use safe, healthy, and sometimes unexpected relationships to bind up those broken parts in us. But what about the messages that we've experienced from family and friends and culture and church and the enemy and the media that we don't measure up? That we are a burden, that we are disposable, that we have to earn favor, that we have to toe the line to be accepted, that we have to be the right size and weight and shape and color to be liked. You know, this is not a new message that I share with you guys. But we are forgetful creatures. We look in a mirror and then forget what we saw. There's an actual scripture for that. It says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and he continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be a blessing. They will be blessed in what they do. So today, let's you and I look and live intently into the perfect law that sets us free together. I believe that there are questions in all of us that are yearning to be answered. And for me, those questions were, am I loved? Am I valuable? And where do I belong? And I spent a long time of my life allowing God to answer those questions for me. Now I get the great joy of coming alongside of God and partnering with his children in their process to have those questions answered. Growing up, I had two loving mothers who took me in when my father was murdered and my mother was addicted to drugs. But no matter how great my two moms were, there was still that question and that ache inside of my heart that really needed to know, am I wanted? Am I loved? Where do I belong? And I think of Adam and Eve. You know, they had the perfect parent, and yet they still questioned God's character and intention for them. They had the perfect relationship with Dad, and yet they still made the choice to rebel and disband from relationship with him. So it's not necessarily about having the most perfect parents or being in the most life-giving garden or community. We all go through a journey where we have to test and find trustworthy the relationships that we have in our life and community where we belong. And we have to test and learn to trust that God does indeed have good intentions for us and that we are valuable. But this process takes courage and it is vulnerable. And maybe you are where I am and you are ready to help answer these questions for others. And maybe you're already doing it. I want to encourage you that we as a church have the resources to effectively come alongside of those who are hurting. You and I get to wake up every day and we get to affirm God's image to those who are in our lives. This is exciting. Michael Dye also writes that a changed life is the best kind of evangelism because it is a demonstrated power of God. You and I, we get to live in this demonstration. It is so fulfilling. It is so full of life. We are changed agents. Change agents. We can ask hard questions. We can point to the answers found in Jesus. And we are living trophies of God's power. And how exciting that we get to partner with him in the lives of those he is pursuing. Maybe you're just now starting to understand the nature of the drive to have these questions answered within you. And maybe you're just beginning the process to heal your hurts and have those questions filled with his radical love and purpose. You know, I know how scary it is to begin to let go of the coping mechanisms and idols of comfort and to begin to trust in God and in others. And I want you to know that there are safe people in God. I want you to know that there are safe places within the church for you to belong and to be known. And I want you to know that when you purpose it in your heart and decide in your will to lose your life, that you will gain. This is a promise that's tried and true from the living God to us. In Matthew 10:39, he says that he, if you lose your life, you will gain it. He's not going to leave you empty-handed. Let me ask you a question. If you're struggling with finding answers and a place of belonging and finding worth in this world, what do you have to lose to do it God's way? Because how long have you done it your way? You know, your independence, your isolation, and your shame, it only keeps you from God's abundant life, and it no longer serves you. At the center of God's heart and design is relationship. You can't flourish on your own. We were created in the image of a relational God who has always existed in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one. Hugh Welchel writes, "These three persons of the Trinity are forever in perfect relationship with each other. There has and always been absolute joy, love, and peace within the Godhead. The very essence of God is relational, and that essential quality has been imprinted on us as humans. We were made to be in relationship with the Creator and with the rest of His creation." But you might be saying to me right now, "Cynthia, you don't know where I've been. You don't know how they hurt me, and you don't know what's already been taken away." I promise you, if you have listened to any of my podcasts at all in the past, I promise you that if anyone can understand the obstacles to healthy relating and flourishing in identity in Christ, it's me. I can understand. I know damage. I know when your heart is seared so badly by others and experience. And I have this running joke in my community as the ultimate one-upper. And I do it in jest because honestly, my life is really ridiculous. But let me give an example of how this conversation plays out. So someone will say, "Yeah, my mom is so annoying. She calls me once a week just to talk about her plants. I hate it." And then that's when I interject and say, "Oh, really? Well, my mom called me last night at 3 a.m. because she was trying to commit suicide." And then there's that long, awkward pause. I know it's not funny, but just having these conversations with my friends for perspective and their look on their faces is just worth it for me. Of course, I only do it with close friends. I don't do it with someone that I'm counseling or mentoring because I do believe everyone's story and experiences are absolutely valid. But let me give you another example because I really think I'm a comedian. The conversation will go, "Man, my week was so crazy. We had a new hire at work and it's been so busy." And then my response, and I interject, "Oh, really? But did your friend request your dad's murderer on Facebook and get instant messages from him?" My poor community, they put up with me. I love you guys. If you're listening, listen, your experiences are valid. I love hearing about them. I also love making you laugh and I love sharing my life. Anyway, I say all this because I understand firsthand the obstacles to trust and to relationships, and I understand how hard and how vulnerable the process is, and I understand the ache of having these hard questions blaring so loudly in your chest that you have to filter everything through the lens of, am I worthy? Am I loved? Do I belong here? And when your experiences and what you hear and what you feel provide you with a resounding no, no, you're not worthy, Cynthia. No, your mother doesn't even want you. She doesn't even care about you. No, you're not loved. God took your dad away. You don't belong here. No, you don't fit in. You're not smart enough. I know full well when the filter that you view your life and yourself get clouded with rejection and pain, I know that it's hard. So if anyone gets it, I do. I honestly do. And you know who else does? Jesus. The God-man himself left a throne in heaven to gird himself in flesh to win us back into restored relationship. I just think about Jesus and his life, and I'm recalling from the Gospels, and not necessarily in order, but I remember if anyone understands pain and woundedness from the people of his community, it's Jesus. Jesus understands rejection. John 1:11 says that he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. People even called him crazy. They said, "He has a demon. He's insane. Why should we listen to him?" And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asks his disciples to stay up and pray with him in his moments of anguish, and yet they fall asleep. Nathanael, at first, didn't even take him seriously because of the town he comes from. Nathanael says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" John 1:46. Imagine being discriminated by where you're from. And then when Jesus was vulnerable and he was fasting, the devil himself comes to tempt him. And then, can you picture this? Jesus, who is single, he's never been married, he has no children, he's lived a life devoted to the Father and his work. And then one of his closest companions, Judas, he uses affection, a kiss, to betray him and to turn him into authorities. What a defilement and a misuse of affection. He was taken captive. He was deserted. He was falsely accused. He was spat upon. He was beat up. He was rejected and scourged and beaten and mocked and laughed at. And eventually, he was murdered. These are just some of the obstacles that I remember when I think about Jesus. You know, if anyone understands the difficulty in connecting with others and the hardships of rejection, it's Jesus. And yet it is his example that gives me strength to move forward in trust and in restoring in relationships. These are just some of the obstacles that I remember when I think about Jesus. If anyone understands the difficulty in connecting with others and the hardships of rejection, it is Jesus. And it is his example that gives me strength to move forward in trust and to want to restore relationships. It's his example and his ambassadors here on earth that has helped answer the questions in my heart that yes, Cynthia, you are loved. Yes, you are worthy. Yes, you do belong, and there is a place for you in God's kingdom and community. I live from this reality, from the reality not from my experiences, not from my fears or doubts, but I live from the reality of the cross. It is by faith that I can walk into full assurance of who I am and who God is for me. And you can do the same. We are made to be brave. We can be brave together. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. Let's do that for one another today. I don't know if this comforts you, but it brings great comfort to me reading about all the people that God chose and used in the Bible. Abraham was really old. Elijah at one point was suicidal. Joseph in the Old Testament, he was abused. Job went bankrupt. Moses had a speech problem. Gideon, he was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman, she was divorced. And Noah was a drunk. Jeremiah, he was really young. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Jonah, well, he ran from God. Naomi, she was a widow. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Martha, she worried about everything. Zacchaeus, he was small, he was money hungry. And Paul was a Pharisee who persecuted Christians before becoming one. Persecuted and killed Christians. And I get this list from Jared Wilson. I say this because I want you to know that we are all flawed, and yet there is a place for us. There is abundant life for us despite what we've been through and what we've done. We are loved. We are valuable to God, and there's a place for us. Before I end, I want to share with you a checklist that I read the other day that I think will help you in finding safe people to come alongside of you in your journey to heal through relationships. It's also a great checklist to measure for yourself to see if you are ready for God to use you as a safe person in other people's lives. This checklist is from Mary DeMuth, who is a Christian sexual abuse recovery advocate. The Safe People Checklist. Safe people ask clarifying questions. They don't jump to conclusions. They aren't passive aggressive. They empathize with you, not needing to interject their story of doom to one-up you. Oops, I think I need to have to work on that one, you guys. Safe people encourage other relationships in your life. They honor and encourage your relationship with God. They want what is best for you in your healing journey. They don't have an agenda or a timeline or a pressure to heal you in their specific way. Safe people aren't domineering. Safe people are aware of their shortcomings and they offer grace. They tell the truth, even if it's painful, but they tell you in a way that encourages trust without shaming you. They aren't defensive. They don't play the victim in every aspect of their lives. They apologize before they're caught. They take responsibility for themselves. They work on their issues without being confronted first. They're eager to learn from their mistakes and accept blame. They avoid gossip and slander. They don't triangulate. Safe people are humble and teachable, and they have a positive influence over your life. They have proven to be trustworthy over a period of time and are the same person in different situations. They are consistent and possess integrity. Safe people applaud your growth. They don't try to parent you or try to be the Holy Spirit. They welcome freedom and autonomy. They don't demand trust. Instead, they earn it by consistently acting honorable. There are safe people. We were wounded relationally. We can heal relationally. Jesus is the ultimate restorer of relationship because he is an incredibly relational God. In the center of the Trinity is perfect community and relationship, and he invites us into healthy intimacy and connection. Tell me, what other heart questions continually come up for you that you still need answered? What obstacles, what hindrances do you face that keep you from entering into healthy community? Do you know that you are loved today? Do you know that you are valuable? Do you know that you belong here? If not, can you talk to someone about it? Ask God to bring you safe community. He is waiting. He's wanting to move in this area of your life. And let's all strive to be safe people. Let's strive to help answer these questions for the people in our lives. We can do brave things together. You can write the answers to these questions and send them to me at cynthia@alivingletter.org. You can also listen to our Living Letter podcast if you're wanting more podcasts to draw encouragement from. Thank you for listening to a PACE of my mind, and I pray that you will walk away with more revelation of his heart towards you. I love you, and until next time, this is Cynthia Beaudry with a Peace of My Mind podcast. Thank you, and God bless you.